This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
It's so great to be back again, and this is the Sue Freeze Show, and this is Sue Freeze. And what is the Sue Freeze Show about? It's about seeking passion, purpose, and connection. Positive and negative things happen to us, and we have a choice, whether to react or respond. Our decision will create our perspective in life and what we make of our life lessons. Wisdom comes from being honest to ourselves. Are we being honest with ourselves? And honest with others. Listening to and applying the things that we and others have been through. Take a chance. Share your life experiences to help change or mold a person's life. Plant a seed. Dare to believe and make a difference. To live your life on purpose for a purpose. Today, I have a special guest. His name is Jeff Abbott, and he's with Convene, and that's a program that I'm involved with also. Jeff, welcome.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You're on a cell phone because you went to the store for your wife, didn't you?
I'm so sorry.
That's okay, Jeff. I'm just glad that I got you because you know what? I just learned a life lesson. I was so prepared for you to be on the show that if you didn't come on the show, I didn't have plan B. And it's so funny because part of my preparation was to ask you about plan A, plan B, plan C, and here hit me right between the eyes because we couldn't get a hold of you. And I'm like, oh no, what do I do now? Because I was ready for you. So that's pretty amazing. It kind of just hit me. And we do need plan A, plan B, and plan C when things are going to work or not going to work. I'm going to give a little background of who you are and well, you know, what you've done and where you are right now. Other than the store. I hope we don't lose connection. Jeff was born in Canada and was raised in Santa Ana. I was born in Santa Ana too, by the way.
Oh.
And it's a great place. Graduated from Cal State Long Beach. He stayed close to home working and serving the Santa Ana School District. My daughter went to Long Beach State also. His 20 years of management and 6 years of consulting have provided him a long list of experiences from which to draw both victories and defeats, which is what life is all about. Since 2003, Jeff has been a group chair of Convene, CEO Leadership Forum for Christian Business Owners. His consulting practice, known as The Abbott Way, www.theabbottway.com, specializes in helping business owners lead a motivated, self-managed team. Jeff, what does that mean?
Well, it just means that most of the time, business owners, especially in small to medium-sized businesses, grew their businesses on the foundation of what they knew and not what their employees knew. And a lot of times they become a leader that dictates the way instead of allowing the workforce to participate in forming the direction and coming up with strategies. And what I like to do is try to get the whole team involved in decision-making processes where they become at least emotional owners in where we're going and how we're going to get there. And what it does, it just invigorates the whole workforce and empowers them to get the job done much better. And the owner then doesn't have the entire load of the business on his shoulders spread throughout the organization.
Or her shoulders.
You know what? Right.
That's okay. I'm used to it. You know, I really am used to it. But, you know, Jeff, this is so hits it to my heart because it is something where you want your employees to own whatever it is that's going on. And the only way you're going to get buy-in is by letting them be part of the decision-making process. And
exactly.
I've seen that firsthand. In fact, we're going through something right now at Ecola where we do need to make some changes and we need to get buy-in. And the frustration is when you think something's such a great idea, but it's my idea. And because it's not their idea, it's my idea. So therefore, they don't own it to want to make it work. So I understand totally what you're saying. And I want my employees to work as a team. I want everybody to have a piece of it. And there is no I in team. I've heard that a million times. So that is so wonderful. So there is a way or a method or a formula in order to make that happen. And the E-Myth, you know, the E-Myth book where it talks about, you know, people working like a baker who knows how to make cakes and bakes beautiful cakes and tasty cakes. But then the business, it can outgrow that because you got to have other employees and whatnot. And it talks about that, how you have to get out of that, or you need to get somebody else in that can help you make it go to the next level. And we only know what we know, right? And so what you help them do is learn maybe other ways of doing something that might be foreign, but change isn't bad, and lessons are good.
Right.
We were at this a seminar, I guess you'd call it a seminar, and there was a man that talked about that God is looking for leaders that are teachable. Do you remember that?
Right.
Yeah. And so often I think leaders get so caught up in the fact that they feel they have to make all the decisions that it's hard for them to take time from being in the business to work on the business.
That's right. And one of the other things that we're discovering in Convene is that what we send in on a rotating basis for each member in the group, when it's his or her turn, we will send in a 3-person team to interview the top 6 or 8 people in the organization. Not necessarily just the top, but a good representation of people in the organization. We could get true answers from honest answers and good feedback about what's going on at the company, what's working, what isn't working. And what I'm so amazed all the time is when we bring back the team members' feedback, that's what becomes the action plan for the owner going forward. And so it's not lost on me that we got all this information from the people that work there and not from the owner. We already had his version of, or her version of what is what's going on there.
You learn well. But, you learn quick, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm and so when we find out that the team says, well, we're organized incorrectly to get done what we're supposed to get done. Plus, we shouldn't even be involved in that. We should focus over here, and we should take advantage of our opportunities to do this or that. And what happens is we get a wonderful summary of feedback from these people that, for some reason, and it's a natural reason, that resource wasn't being tapped into before. It's the natural thing to just make the plan, just go this way, and everybody follow me, trust me, it'll be okay. And people don't buy in, as you just pointed out. They don't buy, even if it's in their best interest just to go along with the plan, they it's hard to own it unless you're part of the building of it.
I just thought of something else as a mother, Jeff. If you're just tuning in right now, it's KKLA 99.5, Sue Free Show. The phone number, if you'd like to dial in and you'd like to call and talk to either one of us, Sue or Jeff, the phone number is 888-995-5552. And we'd love to hear from you. So please, the phone lines are open right now if you'd like to call in and ask either one of us a question. What I was going to say, Jeff, is that in listening to you and being a business owner with Ecola and dealing with these things, in fact, I've gone through this process and it was eye-opening for me. It wasn't easy for me to take, but it was eye-opening and it was worthwhile, very worthwhile. It was a tremendous input, and the information was right there in front of me. It was right there. It wasn't like I had to go out and get some specialist to come in and evaluate and analyze my business. The people that are working for me had the answers. And as a mother, from a mother's point of view, because I know I have listeners that aren't business owners and they're thinking, I don't want to keep listening because what do they have to offer me as a mother or a father or somebody that's not a business owner? And I just want to say that any lessons that we learn in life can be paralleled or transferred from learning for in this environment. You can take those learning lessons, those lessons, and you can put them into other areas of your life. For instance, chores with the children. If you take your children, and I had this issue. My mother taught me every Saturday morning was, you know, cleaning. We took Saturday morning to clean. Well, then we had soccer and all those things that kind of messed that plan up. But we still needed to get the house clean. And I believe that everybody should have a part in that because I'm not the one making the entire mess. Everybody makes the mess. It's just like the towels always get left. Who folds the towels? Everybody uses them, but the mother usually folds them. Kind of funny side note. But what I was going to say is that the chores, I had a list that I made. And I thought it was very fair and very good for each child to do this, this, and this, and so on, you know. But it was my idea. And I didn't get buy-in from my children because maybe they didn't like that chore, but they liked this other chore better. Or maybe they were better set to do this chore versus this chore. And it doesn't matter about guys taking trash out, girls doing dishes. It's not about that. Somebody might like to get their hands wet better than somebody else, whatever. It can be that simple even in business, can't it?
Oh, totally.
It can. You know, it could be that simple. But I find that the lessons can be transferred. And that's what I'm saying is those that are listening, there is something to gain by listening to what we're talking about here. And I found that I didn't get buy-in by my children. And so what had to happen is we had a family meeting and we sat down and we said, okay, here's what we believe needs to get done. Who would like to take what? And who's best to do this job? Who's best to do that job? And even in the home, you can utilize these skills is basically where I was going with that.
Right. Well, and for the business owner or the mother or anybody in life, really, God gives a grace to the humble, but resists the proud. And so when we humble ourselves, things start to go better. And when we are proud and arrogant and stuck on an idea that's all ours and we won't listen, we can't humble ourselves to hear from the people around us, then things will not go well. And it's just so, you know, God ordained from the lowest to the highest.
Correct. That's amazing. So I've had this done, and that's something that your organization does, Convene does, and I've had it done in both cases. I was the first one in our group to have this assessment done, and it was grueling, but it was wonderful. And it was eye-opening, like I said. And what I found out about it, that what I thought, though, is that when this happened, they were watching me very closely to make sure that I did do something with it, or it was a waste of energy, time, and whatnot. They wanted to see that what they said and the time they invested in that whole ordeal, that something was going to become of it. So I had to take action quickly. It's not something I could sit on and you know, digest. It's something that I had to take action on, and I did. And it was wonderful. And just this last week, I went to another business and served or gave back, because this person came to my office and helped me with my situation. Therefore, it's obvious that you need to give back. And so I did. And you know what? I think that I got more out of going and doing this for that person than even I got from watching my organization and what needed to happen. I already had the answers, but it wasn't clear to me. And when I went to this other place, and isn't that how life is? Is as sure. As you give, you receive. And the joyful giver, you know, it is the joyful giver. It's the one giving that gets the joy. And
right. The other thing is, it's amazing how much you know about somebody else's problems and how little you know about your own. And so when you are able to look at somebody else's stuff and say, that is broken, that should be fixed, that should be replaced, that should be discontinued, this should be started. You know, you're going through this thing, and then you start realizing, this is just like my business.
I know. The parallels are incredible. They really are. Business is business. I mean, you know, it's the same issues. It might have different names on it, and it might have, you know, the service might be different or, you know, things. But all in all, a lot of the things are the same.
Exactly.
So you join other successful businessmen. And there is a program you're in called Difference Makers, right? Is that?
Yes.
I don't know what that is. And you're also part of the Barnabas Group, which a lot of people don't even know what that is. And maybe you can explain a little bit about that.
Let me tell you about Barnabas, and then I'll tell you about
okay.
Difference.
Okay, okay.
Barnabas is, of course, the Barnabas in the Bible Barnabas was given the name Barnabas because it meant encourager. And so the Barnabas group actually started out as an alumni group from Bob Shank's The Master's Program, which was a discipleship for program for adults, adult Christian leaders, who were looking, it was based on the book Halftime, about, you know, living your life for significance instead of for success. And so people will go through the discipleship program and learn about, you know, what they're going to do with their life and, you know, different perspectives and new paradigms and graduate. And there was the kind of all dressed up, nowhere to go dynamic. And so they started this alumni group where they'd actually flesh out the things that they'd learned. And so I joined in with all of that. And what they do is they have a sort of incubator ministries and nonprofits and things where they're trying to help to grow to the next level and to become successful and to be well known and to be, you know, well funded and all that. It's not a place where you go to get funding, but it's a place where you go as a ministry to get wisdom. And for the member, you go there to find out how you can help in any given ministry. One ministry may need legal help. Another needs a board of directors. Another one needs some wisdom about how do you do a distribution of this product we have. Another one needs marketing or a website or whatever. And the meetings consist of a half a day once a quarter where these people present their business plans and they get feedback from a room full of people who are willing to give to them in any way they can. There'll be typically about 200 or 250 people at a meeting, and they get all kinds of support. And it's a great time to fellowship with other like-minded people that are interested in helping ministries go. And it's just become a great source of joy for me because I just love to give and get involved. And then I became a board member of the Kingdom Assignment. I'm already a board member of the Sheepfold, which is an organization for abused women and children. And just getting involved with the Free Wheelchair Mission, I raised money for two containers, 1,100 wheelchairs for third world countries, and took a team from my church to go down and distribute them. But all of this happened because I was exposed to the Barnabas group. And then what I do is I take that exposure and then I try to bring that same experience to my members so that they can get an opportunity also to give and to see this full array of great things that are going on in the world, from microloans for people in Africa trying to start a little business, or water wells, or mosquito nets, or, you know, whatever the spectrum of these nonprofits and ministries are, they can come and get help and encouragement to grow.
Listen, I want you to hold this thought because we're going to be right back with more of the Sue Free Show and Jeff Abbott at www.theabbottway.com. The phone number to call in and talk to either one of us and both of us is 888-995-5552. Again, phone number 888-995-5552. This is the Sue Free Show on 99.5 KKLA.
What would happen if your computer network went down? It happens every day to businesses large and small. Imagine losing financial records, days of work, or even your entire client database. How damaging would that be? Imagine how different your life would be if you could find out about a computer disaster before it happened. With NSI's free network analysis, you'll get a technical specialist who will not only warn you about any possible threats or system issues, but you'll also get a full inventory of your systems along with a site performance evaluation. And at the conclusion of your analysis, we will sit down with you to explain exactly what we have discovered in terms that make sense. This valuable offer is available for a limited time to all business owners. Wouldn't you like to have peace of mind that your technology is stable and secure? Find out why hundreds of companies, like yours, choose NSI as their technology partner. Don't rely on luck. Let NSI help. to schedule your free analysis and see how NSI can help your business strengthen its technological base, call 866-671-0089, extension 204. That's 866-671-0089, extension 204. Call today and find out what it's like to have a true technology partner working for your business. Call 866-671-0089, extension 204.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS, 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their two-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
Well, we're back. This is the Sue Freeze Show with Jeff Abbott, and we were talking about the Barnabas Group, and I believe that's for non-profit, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And the Sheepfold, I've heard them advertised or mentioning, you know, the needs and that they're helping with Sheepfold, and I have such a heart for that. There are so many hurting women, and if the women are hurt, the children are hurt, because the women are there to guard and guide the children, and it's just so awful. And, you know, I've experienced this too, Jeff. I have single mothers that work for me, and without getting into any detail, I had some single women mothers working for me that I felt this was happening. They would come and they'd have bruises on them, and they would say they fell, of course. And, you know, there was one woman where I actually went out and tried to find a safe place for her to go so she could get away from this. And it just hurts me so much, you know, for these things to happen, but it's reality. It does happen. It's as bad as we don't want it to happen, it's happening. And there's things that when I was growing up that were happening right across the street from me, and I was too young to realize it. And looking back and talking to those people now, here I'd go to their house and I'd be friends with them and everything, and had no idea, you know, this friend of mine, what she was going through right there. I mean, we need to be aware of our surroundings and be aware of that these things actually can happen. And if they are, what can we do about it? So I love the Sheepfold ministry. So how did you get involved in all of this? I mean, has it always been this good for you? I mean, it sounds like you have it all together, Jeff, and never had any problems at all. How long have you been saved, and what's happened in your life? You know, what's been the biggest challenges? There's a lot of questions there, so just start
okay.
Wherever you want.
Well, I did live... coming out of high school, I was really heading for nowhere coming out of high school. I became a Christian right after that, and I just all of a sudden just kind of found myself. My father had died when I was in high school. I started searching for God, and I met this tremendous woman. She's my wife now. She's about 16 or 17 at the time. Her father was a pastor. He immediately loved me, and she was trying to get rid of me, and he loved me into their family, and he was just such a great guy, and he just became like my dad again. I had, you know, and he was even closer than my real father had been, so it was so great. I received Christ pretty soon, and I just started on this trek. Ended up in the Army, did real well in the Army, and I came out and went into college. I went to Long Beach State, did real well. I started getting straight A's, this class clown kind of person who, you know, was a real loser in high school. All of a sudden, the Lord is, you know, got his hand on me, and he's teaching me things. And I became like a really a bookworm in the scriptures and with the navigators, just memorizing scriptures and memorizing chapters and books of the Bible. And I started using my mind, and so I started to succeed. And I went into school teaching. That didn't last very long. I love kids, but it wasn't for me. And I ended up at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa doing youth work. And I went back into industry where I really enjoyed work and became a manager. And everything, I just had this charmed life for about 25 years. And all of a sudden, you know, as you rise in the corporate world, I was with a public company and everything was going so well. And everything was just, I kept getting the next promotion. And after about 25 years, the music stopped, and I was actually fired because of a political sort of move. And as they say, companies going in different directions. And I found myself on the outside looking in, and I was unemployed for about a year.
Wow.
And for the first time in my life, I never really even remember interviewing for jobs, right? I mean, just
25 years.
They hire me, and
yeah.
I get promoted or whatever. And all of a sudden, I don't even know what to do to interview. I feel so lost and so humbled and a really terrible time for manufacturing and really terrible time to be in job search in 2002 and 2003. And so I was very discouraged. As positive as I am, I'm a real positive person. But, boy, I was getting discouraged. And so the last 2 years of my corporate life were kind of discouraging, and they became kind of a desert for me. And then I got fired, and I went through another year of just being in a total desert. But then the Lord brought me convene, and I said, you know, really, I didn't want to ever, you know, get into a situation again where I was going for the gold and the corporate, public company kind of senior management. I was president, and look back and say, I had a chance to serve you in a really significant way, and I passed it up because I just wanted to be, I wanted that, you know, the company car again. And so I just really latched on to convene. I gave it my whole heart, but there was another couple years growing my business as a convene chair of 2 more years of desert where I was scraping to get by and just barely paying my bills. And it just became a thing where finally, after, you know, about 5 years of really tough sledding where I really started to engage again and find my home and my dream of ministering to people in the business place. And it just became the best life I could imagine somebody having.
So are you saying, Jeff, that the biggest challenges or the biggest challenge you had was, you know, after everything going pretty smooth and for 25 years being in the workplace and just getting your promotions and everything going fine, that when you got fired from that job in those 3 years, would you say that's your biggest challenge? You said desert, and I love that,
I was told in that last couple years of that business that before I got fired that I really was no good.
Oh.
And so that was just hammered into me because the people wanted me out, and it was a big political play, right? I mean, so you can imagine high levels in the corporate world, people are teaming against you.
Yeah, that's difficult.
So by the time I was out, I had very little self-confidence left, and it was really a hard time. And the Lord, you know, just spent a lot of time just praying, what can the Lord be up to? You know, what do you want me to do here? I went from being God's gift to these people, and now I'm nobody. And I find out that really what I really need to do is humble myself and listen. I wasn't all that, you know, when I was there. He was the reason why I was succeeding.
Right.
And he had his hand on me. The scripture says that he raises up one person and he takes down another. And, you know, when we give ourselves all the credit for rising, we are in error. You know, we do that to our peril because we think we're so good. We don't realize that we're riding the wave of growth in an industry or whatever. And it's not about us at all. It's about the Lord's hand on us. And, And we need to really pay attention to what he's got going in our lives. He really doesn't care about your next promotion as much as you think he does. You know, he cares about your character, and he cares about shaping you into the person of Jesus Christ. He wants to make you an identical clone of his son. And that's Romans 8:29, in case you're wondering. He wants us to all be like a factory of duplicates of the original master. And so he doesn't use comfort and ease to get there. You know, he doesn't use happy times to shape us. He uses those times that are really hard on us. It's times where we've lost our base of, whatever our identity is. Might be a job, or might be a ministry, or might be a child, problems with a child, might be a death in the family. But He just can do so much with us when we are humble and when we're broken and when we're asking. Otherwise, we won't even ask. We won't listen to the still small voice. It'll be all about us.
So, Jeff, there are people that are hurting that are listening right now. The phone number, if you'd like to call in and talk to us, is 888-995-5552. This is the Sue Free Show. And if you're listening and you are hurting, or you want to talk or get clarification, then please call us. But Jeff, for those that are hurting and those that you're saying that, you know, sometimes we get about it's all us and you know, we're not all that. It's God, it's not us, and he works through us for his glory. What would you say to those people that are going through tough times? What kind of encouragement? I mean, I'm sure that there was things you leaned on during the desert, during this time of regrouping. What did you lean on, or what could you give to help people?
Yeah, good question. One thing that is really hard for us, you and I and the people listening, is to get on God's calendar. We are on our calendar. So if we have a toothache, we need to take medicine and pain relievers and stuff and get it taken care of at the dentist's office, like today in the emergency visit. But God doesn't always have that kind of timetable for us. If we have, you know, I thought that I would be out of work for probably 2 months,
uh-huh.
Right? And that's my timetable. Okay, God, I'm going to need something here. You know, my wife is starting to fret, and she's asking me all the time what's going on. I don't have answers. I need some answers. Could you please, you know, get me reemployed here? A year later, I'm still not employed. I'm just getting to something, and I had to start this consulting practice with becoming an independent contractor, and that doesn't come actually with a paycheck until you build up this big, you know, business.
And that takes time and planning.
It takes a long time. Right. So here I don't have the timetable I want, and I don't have the provision I need. Yeah, I don't have the money I need. I wanted it to be, you know, replaced, my income to be replaced by now. That didn't happen. You know, when my children seemed to kind of walk away from what they know, what they know is right for them, and mm-hmm. And they take other kinds of choices and paths, and I, Lord, you know, this isn't good, and I'm going to be praying here for my kids that are now 28 and 30 years old, and I can't just sit them down and talk to them and put them in time out. So they're their own people now. And so, you know, I'm starting to realize that God has this calendar that is different than my calendar. I am impatient, and I need to wait on him and where he's going. And so sometimes the pain that we're going through of estrangement, or sometimes it's an addiction that we can't get on the other side of. Sometimes it's a person in our family, and you know, we're suffering while they suffer. And but you know, God's got a timetable, and He is making, like I said, clones of the master out of us, because He's building the endurance that we need to be effective as His tools. James, in chapter 1, he says that the perfect end of all these trials and stuff is endurance, and let endurance have its perfect effect. And so we say, so endurance, what's that about? But if you read in 1 Corinthians 13, It says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So we can't love unless we endure all things. And so he builds endurance into us. And these hard times we go through, they're never easy. And it'd be so, it'd be so wrong for me to say that be patient and everything's going to be all right. I understand that people go through deep pain, but he's building endurance in us so that we can love another person who has that pain. And, a lot of times we have to tolerate other people. Do we like to bear all things? No, we don't like to do that, but God helps us to learn how to do that if we'll submit ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And that happens through enduring these trials. And just about the only thing you can count as joy in the trial is that he's working on you, and he's going to be faithful, and he is going to complete the good work that he started in you, and all those promises. But it doesn't come by comfort, and we love comfort. I love comfort. I love when the trial's over. I like to get a long break between trials, but what's best for my growth is for me to always see the trials I go through as a time to grow for his purposes.
So when we're going through trials and tribulations, sometimes we feel like he gives us more than we can handle, but he says he doesn't. But it feels like it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And we draw from our experiences. I was talking to my producer. She's my, her name is Melissa. Her mother's listening. So hi, Mom. And I was talking to Melissa on the way to the show today, and I was talking about how things that affect us where we're fearful. When we're little, you know, we might be afraid of crossing the street, or we might be afraid of, whatever it is, the light going off. Whatever the fears are, and as we get older, that we have other fears. What happens is once we conquer that fear, or we cross that street, or we turn the light off and realize nothing's going to happen to us, then those fears are experienced and they come out with an okay outcome. Then those aren't fears anymore. And as we go through life and we get older and more wise, we go through more trials and more tribulations. And what those do is causes us to have less fear. And on the other end of that, I realize that whenever I'm speaking to somebody about something that they're afraid of, or, you know, sometimes, you know, fears of the devil, we know that. There is this gauge, this temperature gauge, where we have to be cautious about things, but the fear is of the devil. And so we need to face that fear by saying, what's the worst outcome? What's the worst that could happen in this situation? And sometimes that takes the fear or the power of fear out of something, doesn't it?
Right.
I mean,
Henry Cloud calls that playing the movie.
Right.
So you play the movie forward and see the ending and see what the worst case is, and you can almost develop a plan now for what would happen if that would happen to you. Is that the end of the world?
Right.
No, it's not the end of the world. You know, there's another opportunity or another job or another thing that he has for you. And so sometimes we live in fear of fear itself. And it's just a cyclical kind of thing. There's really nothing there. The scripture says even the wicked people run, but no one chases them. So the paranoia and stuff that comes in. We as humans really have a tough time with the subject of fear you're talking about.
So what we need to do is face that fear, whatever the fear is. First, we have to be honest with ourselves and say, okay, what is it I'm afraid of, right? And then after we find out what we're afraid of, we have to take action. We need to say, okay, what's the worst that can happen? Play out the movie. I've never heard it put that way, but that's a great analogy. That's great. And you play the movie, and what's the worst that can happen? And then it takes that power out. And so I would recommend anybody, you know, when you're listening here, and if there is fear, you know, call it what it is, and then address it. You know, just face it head on and deal with it. This is KKLA 99.5. This is the Sue Free Show. And the phone number, we're almost done here. But if you still want to call, we'd still like to hear from you. 888-995-5552.
There's also another thing that sometimes we cause our own problems. You know, a lot of times we cause our own problems. And so there is an enemy out there, a real enemy. And then we are our own worst enemies. And so God has to fight both of us, you know, in this thing to convince us to turn like to Him in a lot of cases. One of the things that you can do is you can team with other people. Sometimes the worst thing for us is what we run to. In other words, if we have a problem, or especially like addictions or something like that, we'll run away and hide. So we'll spend that time alone, and then the aloneness creeps in on us, and it becomes as big a problem as the problem itself. And so there's no one there to give you encouragement, no one there to help give you wise counsel to get you out of that situation. You're hiding from the truth. You're like a prisoner of war. And then by that time, people come to help you, and you see them as the enemy. And the people who are, or even yourself, who will keep you in this wrong way of thinking, in this prison cell, you think are your friends. And so if I come to you and say, hey, look, what can I do to help? Because I see this big problem you have. People lash out and say, mind your own business. You know, I'm okay. Don't worry about me. Don't be judging me. And so then they chase you away, and then and they stay in this place where they're imprisoned.
Isolation. I talked about that on another show, because isolation is something that happens so often, and people think they're the only one going through whatever they're going through, or somebody's not going to like me because I've got this imperfection or this problem I'm facing right now. And that's the worst thing we can do, is isolate ourselves, put ourselves in a place where we can't get any help, support. I talked about Mommy and Me when I was a young parent, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I'm alone. I don't think I'm a good parent because I don't know how to fix this problem. I don't know how to make my child do what I want him to do. And then I went to this Mommy and Me, and it was like, wow, you're facing that too? Wow, you're facing that too? And then we laugh about it, and it's like, it's no big deal. But you get the answers, and that's kind of, you know, the things that you're doing with all the things that you're involved in. Talking about significance, you know, I've always wanted to be, my whole entire life, I was thinking, I want to be successful. But ask yourself, what is success to you? If you ask yourself, what is success? Everybody has a different definition of what success is. And at one time, my definition of success was different than what it is now. And, you know, for whatever reason, life experiences, you know, success now for me is something completely different than what I thought it was when I was just getting out of high school. And
right.
Significance to me is such, it's got more letters in it than success, doesn't it? And it's so much bigger. It's a bigger picture. And it's not significance about who I am, but it's what I can do to help other people. And if God puts us in a place, which He does, it's not if, God puts us, He made us, created us for a specific purpose. And it's up to each one of us to fulfill that purpose. So if our journey, our life journey, which I love that life journey thing, it's just a journey. It's, you know, it's not, it's a journey, and we're enjoying the journey. I am always a goal setter, so I want to get there. I want to get there. And sometimes we forget to smell the roses along the way, the flowers along the way. Something I've learned about you, Jeff, is I met you at a Convene program. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And I went to you because I needed help, because I don't know it all. Imagine that. But I don't know it all. And I came to you, and your personality, there was a lot of men. It was mostly men, not a whole lot of women, which I'm used to. It's getting different, but there was a lot of men in the room. And but I went to you, and I was talking to you about, you know, some issues, and I actually wasn't clear on what my issue was, and you kind of diagnosed, and you had some answers, and you actually emailed them to me immediately. I love the electronic age. You know, you got on your little phone or whatever and emailed them to me. I had them, you know, within minutes, and it was just amazing that you were that open, and you had that servanthood and that desire to help. And if more people had that heart and had the desire to get out of themselves, you know, it's not about you. It's about what you can do for others. And yes, if you're hurting, you need to be honest with yourself, look at yourself in the mirror, take part and take responsibility for your part. But other than that, you need to say, okay, where can I get, there's resources. There's resources. Learn where your resources are and get the help you need, whatever your issues are. I can't express that enough, Jeff. Can you say anything more on that? It's like we need to get help where we need help.
Yeah, there's a book, if your listeners are listening, by Henry Cloud and John Townsend called God Will Make a Way.
I love that book.
It's about accessing those resources and don't destroy the way God makes. Take advantage of the way God makes. And if sometimes it's a professional to help you, a counselor. Sometimes it's your pastor. Sometimes it's your spouse. And you long ago stopped listening to your spouse. Don't do that. Take the duct tape off of that mirror and look closely in it that he or she is shining at you and say, this is what you look like. And take that really to heart and let people speak to you. Let people speak truth to you because the truth is your friend. And hiding from the truth is not your friend.
That is so true. I went to a seminar once that it was a relational, you know, resolving conflict is a big one because we all grow up, not all, but most people grow up in dysfunction of some kind in their family life. And, you know, we're not taught in school how to be, unless you go to a Christian school. But even then, you know, we need to have those role models in our lives. And not everybody has that benefit of having those role models. So we don't have class 101 on how to be, you know, in a marriage. You know, we don't have marriage classes and whatnot when you're going through elementary school and high school. And it's too bad. Maybe we need more of that. In fact, I know we do, on how to deal with issues of life, such as resolving conflict. You know, there's healthy ways of resolving conflict. And one is not the silent treatment and one is not yelling and walking out the room and getting the last say. You know, those are things that you can learn. But a lot of the times we're not taught at home. We're taught just those things. Okay, this is how you handle this. And isn't it funny how many times I hear people say, oh, I'll never do that when I'm a mom or I'm a dad. I'll never do that. And then you become a mom and a dad, and that's what you do.
Yeah.
And
it's a natural way.
Yeah, because it's what you know, right?
Right.
But what we're called to do is do things God's way through the Bible principles and learn how to be better people, better servants. For his kingdom, for his glory. And that's better for all of us, isn't it? It's better for the kids. It's better for everybody concerned.
That's right.
Another thing I learned, tell me if this is, you know, have you learned this lesson too, is that you can ask your friend, your sister, your brother, your spouse. I'm echoing. I don't know why. Do you hear the echo?
No.
You don't. Okay, it's only on my end, so it's going to make me crazy. Anyway, you can ask your person, on a scale from 1 to 10, how am I doing as a mother, a wife, a sister, a brother? How am I doing from 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the least, the not best? And ask them where they would fit, you know, a spouse especially, you know, how am I doing as being your wife or your husband? And it's amazing that you think you're one place in that scale and your partner is telling you you're at another place. Don't end there, though. Once you get that number, and if you're shocked, that's okay, sit down. But then ask, what can I do to bring me from whatever number she or he gave you? How can I go from that number to a 9 or a 10? I believe that there's no such thing as perfect because we don't have holes in our hands. But let's say we're striving for a 10. And if we're striving for a 10 and I'm only a 7, what can bring me from a 7 to a 10 in your eyes?
Well, the thing that you really want to ask is, what should I continue doing? What should I stop doing? And what should I start doing?
Ooh, I like that. That's good.
Yeah, and then people will say, well, stop yelling at me whenever I make a little mistake. That really, you know, sends me into this place. You know, I just really feel, you know, awful and stuff, and the communication stops and stuff. If you would just ask me if I'm having a problem with that, if I need any help, then that would be so much more helpful, you know, right? So you can have this big swing in this, going from having a deficit there to actually being a good encourager or whatever. Just ask people, what do you think I ought to stop? What should I start? What should I continue? And you're gonna have to be brave to have that conversation, and you're gonna have to get a little thicker skin, because a lot of people, what they do, they go to people they know they're gonna get the right answer from, and they ask them, I knew it.
Isn't that the truth? You can always find those
people. Real loyal to them. They know they're not gonna say anything bad.
Right.
You want to team with them and just say, I knew I was right. I knew I was right. Well, that's not good for you.
Right.
You want honest feedback. Go to people who know you, not just people who are really loyal to you.
Yeah, you can always find people that are going to tell you what you want to hear. But the true people and the friends and the people that love you are the people that are going to tell you what you need to hear, right?
Exactly.
I have a book in front of me, and it's really good. There's this thing. It's titled Self-Acceptance. Have patience with all things, but first with yourself. Never confuse your mistakes with your value as a human being. You're a perfect, valuable, creative, worthwhile person simply because you exist. And no amount of triumphs or tribulations can ever change that. Unconditional self-acceptance is the core of a peaceful mind. Isn't that good?
It is, especially when it's divine. When you know the Lord feels that same way about you, and He loves you, and He wants to kind of walk this path with you, and take you all the way through to the place where you are like His Son. You know, starting out wherever you start out, as shabby as you think you are, as I was when I started, and just walk through life one trial at a time, letting Him clean us and sanctify us, and we're already justified. We already come with all the inheritance of the kingdom that we'll ever have. But He just works on us, sanctifies us, grows us up, matures us, and life gets just makes more and more sense as we submit ourselves more and more to Him.
That's correct. There's a person that's on the air, but she doesn't want to talk. She wants her question answered, but I don't know what her question is, so I'm waiting for that. So I don't know if she's going to ask the question or not. So we're almost done with this show, and I'm sorry that it's ending, but okay, here it is. Veronica called from North Hollywood. She said that she once was a Christian, and now she isn't. When she looked for help in a Christian community, she felt as if they put her down. She wants to know what to do. Okay. Well, people will let us down sometimes. I know that. So what do you think, Jeff? What should she do?
Well, two things. The people that have, you know, that do react to people like that in negative ways and are really critical, we need to get off of that.
Right,
we
do.
We need to realize that this person is going through a trial and that they have been, for whatever reason, they've forsaken the way that they want to go. And they're seeking again. And we need to love that person back into fellowship. And whatever that looks like, I don't know what her needs are. I can't tell you what she needs to be forgiven of. A lot of times there's a forgiveness issue that they can't get around. They are forgiven by Christ. They don't feel forgiven. So they say, it didn't work. I wasn't forgiven. And we don't, as Christians, sometimes help the matter any by being prickly and judgmental. That's something that sent Jesus up the wall, trying to figure out how to get people to get off of that and to love people back into fellowship. And so I'm very sorry that happened. She needs to find a good place to fellowship, a safe place. And whatever that... I'm sure that KKLA can advise her some places where she can go. There's also a website called groundwire.com or groundwire.org. I'm not exactly sure. Where people will love her and walk her through this thought process and back into the kingdom. And if she's sincere about that, there will be tons of help for her.
Veronica, I'm just going to say that Jesus loves you. He hates sin, but He loves the person. And so if you need help, we want to be there for you. And if you want to give your phone number or something, we would be happy to talk to you off the air if you want some further direction or whatnot. We'll help you any way we can, Veronica. So our hearts go out to you, and we're here. So that's what I'm on the air for, is to help people when they feel like there's nowhere to get any help. So I'm glad you called, and I'm glad you asked that question. There's another little thing that I read, and I think it's funny because it's relating to, you know, I'm in the pest control business, and now I'm trying to find it. And I think it's funny. You're going to like this. If you think you're too small to make a difference, you haven't been in bed with a mosquito. Isn't that funny? But isn't that true? Jeff, thank you so much. It's been great having you on, and I appreciate so much your insight and input. I thank all of you for listening. Our time is done, and it's a shame, but we have to go now. So what I'm going to end with is just understand that you are forgiven. Just ask the Lord to forgive whatever it is that you've done, and He will forgive you.
Forgiven in love, child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven in love.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services.
Are raising insurance premiums making it unaffordable to offer quality benefits to your employees? Well, before you throw in the towel on providing affordable employee benefits, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services, the benefits specialist. Denon Simpson saved her clients over $4 million in premiums last year while offering extra benefits like heart scans, stroke scans, even chair massages. Let your employees know how much you appreciate them by offering them a comprehensive benefits package that's easy to manage and affordable. Denon Simpson serves companies throughout Southern California. Clients like Make-A-Wish, A American Self-Storage, the Foursquare Denomination, and ministries around the world. They love an opportunity to save your company thousands too, while providing a culture of wellness and safety. If you're responsible for the health and safety of your employees, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services today at 818-676-0044. That's Denon Simpson Insurance Services for a free evaluation. 818-676-0044. Denon Simpson, the benefit specialist.
Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.